Lord God, you are great in the midst of your people. Your glory fills this house as the waters cover the sea. We lift up our voices and we bless you. We thank you because you have done wonderful things to your people. We give you praise and we give you glory. We sanctify thy name, O God, that your glory may dwell upon our land. We thank you because of your precious oil that flows from the beard of Aaron right to the skirts of the garments. We thank you because you commanded the blessings and even life forevermore. You have ordained life and you have ordained strength to your people. We thank you for what you have done to Israel. Receive every praise and receive every glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to Psalm 45. The Holy Spirit will be able to communicate the things that cannot be communicated by words, and that the Spirit intended will be perceived, will be received, and that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. We hope to say a few things in the words that we trust the Lord will give. And hopefully we'll be able to pray for our nation. But let's turn to the book of Psalm chapter 45. It says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme, indicting a good matter, according to King James. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is a seal. The pen of a ready writer. The things my tongue will say are the things that are determined to take place, for it is written. It is the tongue of a ready writer. It is about the dominion of the king in our time. Remember, his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. For you love righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, God, even your own God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy companions. Unto the Son, he says, not just to the seed Son, Jesus Christ, but the corporate Son. Your throne, O God, is forever. The scepter of your kingdom is the correct scepter, is the right one. for the foundation of his habitation, his throne, his righteousness. Because you love righteousness and you hate wickedness, because you have made a choice of me, your God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all your companions. Grace is poured upon your lips. I believe in my heart, therefore I speak. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. For the scepter is righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I've always said that salvation is between the heart and the mouth. Everything ordained to bring us to full salvation is between the heart and the mouth. For being justified by faith, we have peace, oneness with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification brings us to the plane of God to be at peace with Him. That will mean no countercurrent, one expression with the divine, because the divine will rule through you and I. With the heart, man connects with the divine. With the heart, that highway between heaven and earth is bridged. Remember, in the beginning, there was really no duality. Duality is as a result of the fall. Behold, the hands of the Lord are not so short that he cannot save, neither are his ears so dull that he cannot hear. But iniquity has made a separation between you and your God. In the original, there is oneness between man and God. But iniquity brings a gulf. So when we say, "Oh God," there's a cry of the fallen creature in need of connection. But through justification, of course, it moves on to sanctification and glorification. When you have stepped right in the current of justification, whom he justified, he did sanctify, and them that he sanctified, he did glorify. So with the heart, man believes. With the heart, the word of the Lord is believed, is impressed upon the heart. And with the mouth, confession, speaking it out, is made unto salvation. So concerning the dominion of the Son, it says you are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. We're going to explore to some extent the power of the spoken word and how God intends that the enemies of his kingdom will be subdued by the words of our mouth. Therefore, he has engraced us to declare his word in these last days. So guide your sword upon your thigh, O most mighty, O mighty one. The mighty one is the one justified, the one sanctified, and the one glorified. Bet on your sword upon your thigh in readiness for battle, O mighty one. Now the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Is the spoken word, is the rhema of God. And we must in these last days learn the art of speaking the word of God. Guard your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. You know what? The garments of the priest are ordained for glory and beauty. With your glory and your majesty. That's the way God sees us in the spirit. And in your majesty, ride on. Ride prosperously. The advancing church can never lose the battle because I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So ride prosperously. So the church in any theater of activity is ordained for victory. Right from the church begotten under imperial pagan Roman Empire. You may ask historians what brought down the Roman Empire. And they may say the barbarian tribes, the Germanic people, and all these tribes called the barbarians began to invade the Roman Empire at the time there was decay within the empire. And so the empire collapsed. Our God, Christ, is the first cause and final outcome of all history. The Roman Empire was brought down by the church. I thought you would say amen to that. The Roman Empire collapsed because of the church. She is the principal dragon, the great serpent that stood before the woman to devour the child as soon as it is born. That woman of Revelation 12 is not the church. In the year 2007, she is composite. She is a composite woman. She transcends space and time. She is the church in all ages that the dragon of this world, the spirit of idolatry, have sought to stop. Why was the theater of Revelation Asia? Really, Asia Minor, Europe. The entire field plots of the book of Revelation is Europe. That was the center of the entire Roman Empire. It says the seven churches of Asia is really the seven churches of Asia Minor, which were called Europe. That's where the dragon held sway. And that's where the seven lamps of fire began to burn. And that's where Jesus appeared to begin to speak to the church and give the church the clue for the dissolution of that entire empire. As a matter of fact, the seven seals completely broke down the power of Rome. Pagan Rome. Although after the collapse of pagan Rome, there emerged another kind. The man of sin. Papacy. And of course, it was brought down also by the trumpets of the book of Revelation. Completely brought to ruin. And all the vestiges of pagan papal Roman Empire, which is actually resting upon witchcraft and idolatry, the paganism of the nations, no difference. What we call Diana of Ephesus, of the Ephesians, is called Mpanto in my village. The same thing. These have been ordained to be brought down by the church of God. The greatest opposition to the church is paganism. In ABC language, witchcraft and sorcery. It can translate into the false religions of this world. And it can take on many forms. The Lord is saying, guard your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one. Let's say a few things about the story of the Almighty One. The story of the Almighty One is really about divine mercy to you and I, the sure mercies of David. You are the mighty one that the Lord is talking about. Let's turn to Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Verse 19. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. So here David is referred to as the Mighty One. And of course, we are in a covenant called the sure mercies of David. Of this man's seed has he raised up for Israel a savior. And we share in the throne. And we are part of this mercy to David. I have given help to one who is mighty. He was lifted up as poor from the dunghill and set up to be established upon the throne of his glory. For the pillars of the earth is the Lord, and is established the world upon them. The one lifted up by grace to his throne is prophetically described as the mighty one. You are the mighty one. It's about the story of the Almighty One. For every authority shall be put down by the church. There shall be nothing in this visible universe that will be able to prevail against the church. By the word of our mouth, the heavens that are right now are reserved for fire and the perdition of all ungodly. By the words of our mouth, old worlds will die and new worlds will be born. Guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one. Praise the name of the Lord. I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. One ordinary. He was just like the people. But I made a choice of him and exalted him. That's the power of grace to transform a sinner, praise the name of the Lord, into the most potent weapon in the entire universe, the hand of the Lord. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. He found him with his holy oil. Do you have the precious oil of truth upon your heart? Do you have the precious oil of the Holy Spirit over you? He says, I will be anointed with fresh oil and my cup will run over. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. Praise the name of the Lord. If we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, if we walk with the Holy Spirit, we can never suffer any defeat. Any defeat in our lives is only traceable to when we did not walk with our helper. You know, Jesus says, I will send a helper. He who may abide with you forever. One called along to help. Even in the most weakest moment, he helped our infirmity. When we do not even know what to pray and how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays through us the mind of God. Praise the name of the Lord. With whom my hand shall be established. So I have found him with my holy oil, and with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy will not outwit him. No enchantment, no manipulation, no trick. The enemy will not exact him, will not outwit him. Nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. Praise the name of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 5, the same thought about the story of the mighty one, the almighty one, is declared. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. 55, Isaiah chapter 55. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Grace. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Buy it without money and without price. Redemption story shall be told again and again and again until it is clear, until it sinks down. Whenever you read redemption story, pause a little bit, read it very slowly. Read it very carefully. Read it cheerfully. You know, that's him says, tell me that old story. Tell me that story softly. Tell it slowly. Tell it often. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell it and tell it over and over again until I understand it. By the time we catch the revelation of redemption, we will come out from our graves completely. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell that story until we can understand the glory of the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Grace instructs us, empowers us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And grace enables us to live soberly in this present life. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? The labor of the olive shall fail. So don't expend your wages for what's not going to solve the problem of the world. Not going to solve your problem. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Butter and honey shall he eat until he learns to reject the evil, the path of self-dependence, and choose the good, the path of Godward dependence. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Eat the word of God, the milk and the honey are the precious promises of God. Because that land is a land full of milk and honey. And by the milk and the honey, you are kept alive in that land of promise. And the moment you begin to take in the precious promises of God's word, you come alive upon that land. Incline your ear. It says, let your soul eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Upon this mountain will the Lord of hosts, upon Zion, the mountain of grace, will the Lord of hosts make a feast for all people, a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees well refined, of fat things full of marrow. And upon this mountain of grace shall the veil spread over all people be taken away. And every veil spread over our eyes and over our being, over our souls, be completely taken away. When we delight ourselves in abundance, praise the name of the Lord, you got to delight yourself in abundance. But if we are not conscious of the fact that the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is there for our wisdom, for our inheritance, and it's our very life, then we would live undersupplied. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Praise the name of the Lord. You've been ordained for the throne. That's the everlasting covenant. You are not an underdog. You have been ordained. He says, sit down at my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. For the Lord will send the rod of his strength, his brave army, out of Zion to rule in the midst of the enemy. As you delight in abundance, as you take what is good, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure message of David. I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. That's the Almighty One. He is the commander. He is the leader. You are the commander. You are the leader for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. Amen. As we begin to operate in that covenant, nations that never thought anything about us shall be attracted to us. Praise the name of the Lord. And nations who do not know you shall run to you. Shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So the sure message of David ends in the glorification of the people, the exaltation, the enthronement of the church. It is a covenant that must come to pass. It's a covenant of grace, the sure message of David. And as we function under that covenant, nations that did not know us will begin to run to us because the Lord has glorified us. He says, I will make a feast on this mountain for all peoples. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. That's the story of the Almighty One. And it connects also to Acts chapter 17. The man whom he has ordained. Glory be to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul on Mars Hill said in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth and does not dwell in temples made with hands. But of course he dwells in the heart of his people. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. He has determined beforehand the pre-appointed times. He has determined how long Roman Empire will rule. In fact, how many years more for America to be the ruler of the world is determined by him. All are according to his pre-appointed times for all nations. Even their boundaries are determined by him. It's very powerful. He set the boundaries of the people around the nation of Israel. Whenever Israel expands, there's going to be boundary adjustment. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. So he has determined their pre-appointed times of rulership and control over the world and the boundaries of their dwellings. Don't get involved in the rat race. Don't be bothered. Don't even be terrified at what seems to be at the seat of control today. Everything you see have a time span. Their end is coming. The collapse of the entire world system is imminent. He determined this so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are all his offsprings. Therefore, since we are his offsprings, the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. The time is getting up. Time no longer. In Jehovah's day, when these people appear, they will draw the curtain to everything that had been. Now, listen. He has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God has chosen to anoint you with his precious Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness above all companions. We have something the rest of humanity don't have. It's really great to have it and to dwell in it and to walk in the Holy Spirit. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That man ordained to judge the world is Christ and his many-membered body. That's the man ordained to judge the world in righteousness. Paul clearly told us, you should know by now that you will judge the world. You will judge angels. It's clear in the word. This is the story of the Almighty One. The sure message of David. He will judge the world by you and I. These are serious matters of Scripture. They are the great things in the mind of God by the man. And he evidenced that by raising him from the dead. Praise the name of the Lord. Because he's risen, we have hope. He's risen, we are justified. In that, we are glorified. So there is a corporate man coming forth in this hour to judge the world. So if such great things have been spoken concerning us, we ought to be able to judge the problems between ourselves. These are very small matters. They are real great issues in the heart of God. Guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. So much grace, such that out of the mouth of babes and out of the mouth of sucklings has he ordained strength. Hallelujah. To stop the avenger. There's a lot of power in our lips. Power we do not realize. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Let's take verse 4. In your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. You know what? We don't ride pompously, but we ride prosperously. And you have to understand the difference. It's not about Ogboju, what the Yorubas call Ogboju, or what the Akwa Ibom people call Nwayin. It's not about just trying to be pompous or just try to show yourself more than you are. He said, ride prosperously. So what constitutes a prosperous ride? On account of truth. The law of life in your heart enables you to ride prosperously. Meekness, humility, completely trusting
in the divine provision. Yielding not counter current to God, relying absolutely in the power of God. As I've said, the difference between this generation and others will have nothing to do with the quality of persons, but the God of the generation that God has decided to reveal himself in great ways to his people, and these people will be willing in the day of his power. Grace will completely take a hold of us and bring us into God's appointed destiny for our lives. Right in meekness and righteousness. These three principles: truth, meekness, humility, righteousness, and your right hand, the hand of ministry. Your right hand shall teach you awesome things, terrible things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. That arrow is the word which we speak. They are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. None will be able to resist the word that goes forth out of your mouth. Remember, he has framed the ages by Christ. And he becomes the first cause and final outcome of all things. He is behind the raising up of one empire, and he closes it when it is time. The four winds of heaven blew over the great sea, and some great beasts came out of the earth. And they all have their appointed times. One goes, the other comes up. The final outcome is the glory of the Son of God. It's a team too big to be captured in one night. The peoples will fall under us. And it has to begin to happen. Praise the name of the Lord. And all those who have begun to understand the principles can testify to things giving way when they spoke God's word to the situation. It will increase until the very peak of the experience. The people fall under you. Remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 says, our Lord Jesus is going to be revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Thessalonians 1:8. But let's read 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 to see another dimension of the revelation of Christ in his many-membered body. And then verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed. He's talking about the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. I believe this is the rise of the man of sin. The rise of paganism decorated in Christian apparel. Papa Rome. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And only he who now restrains will do until he's taken out of the way. The truth is that pagan Rome collapsed.
to give way to Papa Rome.
And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Hallelujah! The entire lawless one shall be dealt with by the Lord our God with what? The breath of his mouth.
We are his mouth. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He has no other mouth than our mouth. There was a time the Lord said something to me, and I said back to him, if my mouth was as big as your mouth and my eyes were as big as your eyes, then these things will happen. And then he replied that you are full of eyes. The four living creatures are full of eyes. There's no other eye I have but your eye. You are the Lord's mouth.
The entire idolatry of this visible universe that we see must give way by the breath of the Lord's mouth. The Lord will consume this wickedness upon the face of the earth by the breath of his mouth. And destroy with the brightness of his coming. Glory be to God. The emergence of the bright ones in flaming fire. He maketh his angels spirits. He maketh his ministers a flame of fire. Fire are all those that call upon the name of the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth. For the house of Jacob shall be a flame, the house of Joseph a fire, and they shall destroy the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. These are the ones who dwell in the midst of the everlasting burnings and the devouring fire. And they have been made the brightness of the Lord. For Zion's sake, I will not rest. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace until what? The righteousness go forth as what? Brightness. Hallelujah. The righteousness within you shall go forth as brightness. The light in a dark place shall emerge as the day star out of your heart. That's the brightness of his glory, the revelation of his glory. Shall be fire to the world of unrighteousness. He says, for Zion's sake I will not rest, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not hold my peace until the righteousness thereof that looked dim, it looked like it was not going to come forth, but the righteousness thereof shall go forth like brightness, and the salvation thereof as a burning torch, as a lamp that burneth. Glory be to God. So you are the burning lamp of Almighty God. You are the flame of fire by through whom he will destroy the world of ungodliness, so that the kingdoms will become the Lord's. It's been told again and again, but we better know it, that these things, we are not going to beg them out. We are going to speak them out. We are going to declare God's word to the world of iniquity. And they shall begin to give way when we have taken our place in God. This lawless one is destroyed by the brightness of his coming. In Isaiah chapter 11, it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow forth out of his roots. The rod and the branch coming forth from the rod is Christ in his many-membered people. It's like a picture of the lampstand. the church, Christ, in union with his people, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch growing forth out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and so on and so forth. Verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity, with justice for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Hallelujah. If this prophecy is being fulfilled today, it can only be fulfilled through his church. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. Hallelujah. He shall slay the wicked. Amen. With the breath of his mouth, he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And then on and on, right into the millennium. That's powerful. Isaiah chapter 66. So many scriptures paint this. The B part of verse 14 says, the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire. Hallelujah. The Lord will come with what? Fire. With his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. So there are different dimensions of the fire. There is the brightness which you become, the brightness of his glory, and that's going to be a flame of fire to the world of ungodliness. And there's the other, fires, whether it is domestic fire or nuclear fire or changes in weather, things that will dissolve the power of this world to hold on. And the world systems will begin to give way for the kingdom of God and of his Christ. For the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. With the heart and with the mouth. These two principles must be at work and must continue to increase in these last days. It will be so powerful that at the sound of his voice, mountains will give way. Things will happen. When he speaks, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He caused the vapors to ascend unto the ends of the earth. He brings forth clouds and brings forth rain. So many things take place when we learn. But you see, it springs from union with God. Then we can be his voice in these last days. In the book of Daniel, we see how the entire world empire was brought to ruin and complete dissolution. And the interesting part of this vision, which we saw in Daniel chapter 7, was that the body of the beast was given to the burning flames. Praise the name of the Lord. The burning flames, the flames that come forth out of your mouth, out of your soul, out of your spirit, shall completely devour every vestiges of the beast. Of course, four great beasts came, typifying the four great empires that have controlled the world from time to the present. But verse 9 says, as I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated, his garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. Hallelujah! You are the throne of God. Your pure heart is his throne. He sits there and rules the world with justice and equity.
praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. If you tie this to 2 Thessalonians 2:8, you see the same principle. It connects. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated, and the books were opened. And I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. You know, the horn is speaking, but the voice of the Lord is mightier than the noise of many waters. Praise the name of the Lord. And I watched till the beast was slain. Amen. And its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Praise the name of the Lord. He says the Lord will roar out of Zion, according to Joel chapter 3 verse 16. And this is about God's great move upon the earth, when he arises within his people to judge the nations of mankind, to judge the idolatry of this present world. In Joel 3:16, it says, the Lord will roar from Zion. Of course, we know Mount Zion is a church. He will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. He will roar from Zion. He will utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake at the voice of the Lord, expressed through your voice and my voice. When he begins to do that, as we learn the art of speaking the very words of God through our hearts joined to him, the heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. We can go on in so many scriptures to show these principles. But let's turn to Ezekiel 9 and begin to tidy up a few things, because the Lord will cause us to move in a measure in these principles. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near. I've set watchmen upon thy walls. They neither hold their peace day or night. They have charge over the city. It can be over our various spheres of influence, even over our nation. Them that have charge over the city draw near in the hour of judgment. The men with responsibility draw near to God. It's not going to be the ministry of judgment from afar, from a disconnected position. Let them draw near. Praise the name of the Lord. Each with a deadly weapon in his hand, with the high praises of God in our mouth, and the two-edged sword in our hands, which is the word of God. I And suddenly 6 men came from the direction of the upper gate, the higher gate, the gate of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit. Not from the baser instincts of the flesh life. These are the consecrated, who, like the Levites, have been joined to the Lord. And so this man came from the higher gate. Each one with a battle axe in his hand. In Jeremiah he says, "You are my battle axe and my weapons of war." Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10. And let's see what the men with the battle axe do. "You are my battle axe." We are going to do some speakings concerning Nigeria as a nation. Praise the name of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10 says, "I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." The B part of verse 9 says, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." I have put my words in your mouth to do this. As we look at our nation, Nigeria, we find a lot of inconsistencies. We've all been believing God for His great victory. To bring about His plans and purposes in this nation. It's really not going to be without us. We are not going to be passive. Every time we gather, it is an opportunity to declare the sovereignty of the Lord over the affairs of this nation. Right from the moral scene to the spiritual scene, a lot of things have to be dealt with. The witches are out there strategizing to plant their men in places of authority, in places of power, so that they can implement their program of mass wastage and ruin and death and perversion and careless and sinful living over the land. But the Lord will have us to speak His word concerning our nation. One of the things the Lord frowns heavily about is the spirit of idolatry and wickedness.
But let's speak out some things. There are so many things if you want to itemize them. One of the things that has grieved the heart of God terribly in this nation is ritual killings and murder. They have grieved the heart of God. They have become so monumental. Daily occurrence. Many times whole buses missing. Diverted to use passengers who legitimately enter the bus from one station to another. For it's terrible. The spirit of bloodshed has become so common. Robbers nowadays don't even stop the bus to search people. They just spray the whole bus and then they search over the dead to pick out their loot. Horrible things. You need to be with people who have gone through it. We cannot be quiet. Now, the Lord is angry. And these ritual killings and murder is perpetuated by men in high places for political ends, for power. A lot of people have entered the cult of power. In certain states of the country, from councillor position to whatever, you have to enter a covenant of blood if you are to get it. These men will not rule over us.
In the name of Jesus.
We can determine that. And the church does not queue up behind any political party. What I mean is this. Call it whatever party. AC, PDP, PPA, APA, LLN, POP. They cannot and will not set the agenda for the church. You know what that means? When PPP brings a man, we say, okay, maybe that's the will of God. No, and no, and no. We don't queue up behind. In fact, a bunch of witches and wizards do not come up with cultic meetings and set the agenda for the church. And then we pray along that line. No. So, forget about any arrangement you see physically. As you pray, and when you pray, forget about any arrangement that your physical eyes can see. If it pleases him, so let it be. But forget about the arrangement in your prayer. He is the first cause. He is the final outcome. Now, we have to bring this evil to judgment in this land. And the Lord has clearly indicated that there will be collision among political forces. That program is on. Do you understand? It is not over. It was indicated more than 2 years ago. The program is on. It's not over. There will be collision among political forces. And he will use this to judge one, the political class. Two, the traditional institutions. And he referred to them as bloody men in bloody courts. The Lord knows about this cult of power. These men who want to ascend the throne with human blood. The Lord God Almighty will judge them and will stop them and will confound them and disgrace them. He says they are bloody men in bloody cause. And the church must say, even so, do as you have proposed. Amen.
Now, this herbalist so-called, of course, most of the traditional institutions are the custodians of the, what they call, cultural values of the people. So they give all these herbalists and ritualists herbalist cover. So an armed robber wants to successfully rob. He goes to the herbalist, who is preserved by the traditional institutions under the name of whatever. And he robs with impunity. A politician wants to win an election. He goes to all these herbalists, evil men, and they prescribe grievous decrees. Go bring human toe and human eye and all kinds of things. Even graveyards have been plundered. The other day they showed in the television the Anglican cemetery was plundered. And they were exhuming corpses and taking parts. If they cannot find enough from the bosses, they divert. They go to all lengths. Look, the church cannot be quiet. We cannot do as if we don't know what's going on. We are his voice in the earth. We must declare what should be. Now, we are going to ask the Lord, because he has so determined it, let the collision continue.
Amen.
Don't say, oh Lord, stop. No, collide. And then judge. Continue to judge until all that have been marked out for destruction are cut off.
Amen.
I'm not saying men will physically fall down and die. Whatever way the Lord wants to do it, let him do it. But let us pray according to the will of God. He says it is his will to judge the political class and to judge the traditional institutions, which he defined as bloody men in bloody courts. They have perpetuated, they have protected, they have initiated bloody courts. And the land is filled with violence. In the midst of that, it will bring out that which he has programmed to be in this country. So that this land shall know peace. Even as we look towards this coming, whatever, I don't want to call it election, whatever it is, this transition. Because God does not need any human system to accomplish his program. Praise the name of the Lord. We don't want to go on too much on the world level. No. There's that another day we'll begin to consider some principles and character of judgment. But the Lord God wants to make a statement through the church. I believe some persons have some other prayer direction. But these are the two things that is clear to my mind that the Lord wants to do, and he will want the church to do it. The church will also administer judgments on global sins and so on, but let's just focus on Nigeria. I'd like us to take this song, and then after the song, one or two inputs can be received that will influence the direction we pray. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Oh yes, thou King of saints,
great and marvelous are thy works.
Oh yes,
Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Thou King of saints,
thou King of saints,
great and marvelous are thy works.
Oh yes,
Lord God Almighty.
Thou King of saints,
great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Thou King of saints,
Thou King of saints,
Lord God Almighty,
oh,
just and true are thy ways. Thou King of saints,
Thou King of saints,
great and marvelous are thy ways.
Hallelujah. King of saints,
great and marvelous,
alleluia.
God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Thou King of saints,
Thou King of saints, God Almighty,
just and true are thy ways.
Oh yes,
Thou King of sin,
Thou King of sin,
great
oh glory,
and
hallelujah,
and
the world,
God Almighty, just and true.
You know what it means to be King of Saints? King of the nations. That's the meaning of the word King of Saints. It's properly interpreted, Thou King of the nations. He's the King of the nations. He's the King over Nigeria. He says, now it happened while I was prophesying that Pelatai, the son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, ah, Lord God, will you make a complete end of the remnant of Israel? But these are not the remnant of Israel. For the Lord will make a complete end of ungodliness in Nigeria.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. He will judge abomination. He will judge idolatry in the political class, in the traditional institutions. And as many as are involved, they shall be cut off by the power of the Lord. While Ezekiel thought that that's the remnant, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. These men have caused mass migration. People, you know, Nigerians have died on the high sea trying to escape to Spain through North Africa. All kinds of people, in fact, you go to the streets of the world capitals, all kinds of people who have no business, they're just out there, some in suffering conditions. Ezekiel thought that these ancients who are perpetuating wickedness are the remnants.
God said, look, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. That means there are looters who think that this land belongs to them. They keep looting and amassing and taking what belongs to the commons. Because they believe that the land is their own, it's their possession. And so these commoners can die. There is nothing there for them. Therefore, say, verse 16, thus said the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Amen. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. And they may walk, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. When I finish with the ancients, when I judge these so-called remnants, then I will restore the outcast. I will bring them back to the land they've been dispossessed from. I will put a new heart in them. This one shall come and shall remove the detestable things out of the land. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
These princes are not the remnants, as Ezekiel taught. The remnants, the outcasts, are the dispossessed of the land that God is thinking about. Those whose lives have been wrapped up, contoured, completely confused, because the right things have not been done by the ancients in the land, beginning right from the sanctuary, the church, to the social sanctuary, to the economic sanctuaries, to the political sanctuary. The Lord intends to judge these ones who say they are the meat and the city is the cauldron. They are those that determine everything. It is their own possession. And because it is their own possession, a few persons, the rest have been displaced and dispossessed. God says, I will make an utter end of these ones, and I will cause these other ones to return. And I will give them a new heart. I will put my spirit within them. The Lord will change Nigeria. He will cause things to turn around in this country. A people shall come and begin to remove the detestable things from the public life of this country. And this country shall know a time of relief, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.